Okay, we're on pause. It is good to see everyone today, and we want to praise God for the privilege of continuing our series on the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The title of today's message is The Authority of the Resurrection Today, and we're going to share with you some Greek words, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us. But we're going to start out today in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. And I tell you what, we'll bump back to verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And in the Gospel of John, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for each and every one of us." So when we see the cross of Jesus Christ, we see our sin up there individually, and we see His shed blood that purchases us our salvation and cleanses us of sin. But we also see the love of God, the great love that He has for each and every one of us. And in John 17, Jesus says this, "Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to raise it up again. This commandment I have received of my Father." We want to look at that today. That word, better translated, is authority, and I'll show you that in a moment. But let's go to Jesus in prayer. Lord Jesus, as I call upon you today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin that I confess to you in my prayer closet out loud and specifically. And I just want to thank you that you are that friend and that consoler and that forgiver. And I don't have to talk to a man. I go directly to you, and all of us can. And I ask to be cleansed by your precious blood as I confess that sin is sin in my life. And I know that you cleanse me. But Father, I need to be changed by your Spirit. That as Paul says, there are areas in my flesh that need to be crucified and replaced by your righteousness. I can do nothing of myself. But with Christ, we can do all things. And when our goal is to bring Him glory, Father, I just pray right now that we all decrease so that you increase. Father, I pray for a spirit of humility to wash the feet of those that are listening as a servant. And Father, that we will open our hearts to receive your truths, your counsels, your loving conviction from your word today. So in the quietness of this moment, Holy Spirit, we're going to ask you a question, Lord. Bring to our minds, Father, what do we need? What do I need to hear from you today? Lord Jesus, thank you. Please speak to our hearts, and Holy Spirit, have your way. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus says this, "No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself, of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." Now that word can be translated power. In the Greek, it's exousia. E-X-O-U-S-I-A, if you're taking notes. E-X-O-U-S-I-A, if you're taking notes. And it means authority over, to have authority over something or someone, to have the right to do something, and then to have the power to do it. It is the right and the authority to do a certain action. So we want to learn this, because the power of the resurrection shows that Jesus has what? That He has authority over death. And that's very important. That he has authority over death. Because I'm going to tell you something. As a born-again child of God, you've got the same right, power, and authority when the Holy Spirit indwells you. And I'll show you in a moment. But let me show you another one. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let me show you another word translated power. We've got two. We've got exousia, and we've got dunamis. In Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the scripture says this, the invisible things, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that no one is without excuse. Now that word for power is dunamis, and it means almighty, divine, supernatural power and energy. Now what I want you to understand, if you're writing that Greek definition for dunamis, I want you to also put in there action, A-C-T-I-O-N. The word exousia means I have the authority and the right to do an action. The word dunamis means I'm doing the action. And what Paul is telling the unbelievers there and the pagans there and those folks that never heard of God, you know, a lot of times we'll say, what about those natives in Africa that have never heard of God? That's what Paul's addressing there. He goes, when you look at creation, when you look at a sunrise, when you look at a waterfall or an ocean, he's saying it is easy to see clearly the power of the Creator God. Amen. And you know, you've been given that innate ability. And you might say, Bro Leo, what do you mean by that? My friend, every time you look at a painting, you know there's an artist behind that painting. You've got to deny your natural inclinations to be an atheist. You got to deny your natural inclinations to look at creation and say all this order came out of a chaos explosion eons ago somewhere in the universe. And if science is going to say that, they contradict their most basic premise, which is order is a result of order. Order can't come out of chaos. And so when we look at the power of God in creation, we're looking at dunamis. Dunamis is the action, the supernatural action of the power of God. Look with me at Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49, as we look at these words. This is dunamis again. This is dunamis. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And he tells them, after I ascend, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. And in verse 49, he says this, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's dunamis. Until ye be endued with a supernatural strength, a supernatural energy, a supernatural power that I'm going to send from heaven. I'm going to ascend to the throne of God, and I'm going to send this supernatural power, this supernatural energy, and he is going to come and he's going to indwell your heart. And what's he talking about, Brother Leo? He's talking about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. He's talking about the day of your salvation when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you. And so we've got to understand something. Christianity is not about religion. It's not about being confirmed. It's not about being baptized. It's not about being a church member. It's not about singing in a choir. It's not about any of that stuff. What it is about is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by which you come to a place in your life where you commit your life. Faith means to entrust to, pistos in the Greek. You entrust the authority of your life to Jesus. And when he sees that you're serious about that, he imparts to you the Holy Spirit, and you know that you have received him. So you receive a supernatural energy and power that lives within your heart forevermore. Amen. And this changes everything. Yeah. It changes everything. Yeah. Now, I'm going to teach you all about the resurrection power today. But before I do, I got to show you one more thing. So go to Romans chapter 8. Because I want you to understand how relevant it is in the life of a Christian. It's not just something we believe about, it's something we experience. It is something that is within us. And if you go to Romans chapter 8 and you read verse 9, it says this: "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ in him, he is none of his." Then I tell you this story all the time. You know, folks will come up to me, you know, when we were in Las Vegas and we did the wedding. After I did the wedding, a lot of folks wanted to know, what are you? And what they meant was, you know, what religion are you? You know, what are you? And, you know, I could have said I'm a Baptist. I could have said I'm a Methodist. I could have said I'm a Catholic. I could have said any of those things. Because that's how most people respond, especially in the Bible Belt. They'll say to you, well, I'm a Methodist. Well, the bottom line is this. It does not say, well, if any man is not a Baptist, he doesn't belong to God. Or if any man is not a Methodist, he doesn't belong to God. He says, now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he doesn't belong to him. So if somebody's going to ask you what you are, your response must be, I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, indwelt by his Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, you'll step back and you'll say, wow, you know, this guy's different or this lady's different. What's going on in their life? My friend, there's power in that statement. There's change in that statement. There's renewal in that statement. And most of all, there's life in that statement. Now, for me to say, oh, I'm a Baptist. There's no life in that statement. Now, I'm not condemning religion. A lot of good things come out of religion. I'm not saying that. But we have come to a place in American religion where we are focusing on the baby carriage and not the baby who is inside that carriage. And so you've got to understand this. So, what does the scripture say? If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is eternal life because of the righteousness of Jesus. But notice what he says in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He's calling the Holy Spirit the same power that raised up Jesus from the dead. So everything we're about to study about the power of the resurrection and the authority of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I can apply to my own life. Now, let me show you just very quickly. In verse 15, it says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God." When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, Cameron, there's one thing you know at that moment. At that moment you know, hey, today I walked into church, or today I went somewhere and somebody witnessed to me, or today I was alone in my room and I felt the conviction of the Spirit and I gave my life over to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in, and the one thing he tells you, you're all right now. You are a child of mine. Amen. And I can remember for months the Holy Spirit convicting me and convicting me and convicting me, and I rejected him and rejected him and rejected him. And I can remember the moment I finally broke and said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to believe the lies of the devil. I'm going to go forward with you. I received the Spirit, and there was like an upward release where I was filled with peace and so much was removed from my soul. Now, before we go on, I'm going to reemphasize it. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. If you're a born-again child of God, you can say this. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ dwells in me. All right, grab hold of that. All right, let's see what the power of the resurrection is, what it does, and what it gives us authority over. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll begin with verse 20. And he says this. Paul writing, some folks didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ, just as they don't now. But Paul's writing, and he says this, but now is Christ risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those that slept in a grave and then came out bodily resurrected. In verse 22, he says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And then he talks about the order of resurrection, which gets you into some dispensational theology. We're not going to study that today. But in verse 24, he says, then comes the end. When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now, this is the authority of the resurrection. You're going to see exousia and dunamis used in the same sentence. He says, even the Father, when he shall put down all evil rule and all evil authority and all evil power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So I want you to grab hold of a principle right here. The power of Christ's resurrection gives you authority and victory over anything that comes against you. It can be subdued by Christ's power. It can be overcome by Christ's power. It brings under authority of Christ's power. Look at what he says in verse 26. The last enemy shall be destroyed, is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. You remember when we watched these movies about the old Roman generals and all, and they would get victory over their enemies, and they would parade them down the streets of Rome, and they'd lay them down, and they would put their foot on their head as they have conquered them. This is the imagery that Paul wants you to get here. Now, I want you to understand this and grab this, because we're going to get real personal before we close out today. I want that. Because there are some things in my life today that I'm the one laying on the ground and they got their foot on my head. So we got to understand what the Lord has given us and why He's given it to us. See, He gives all this stuff to use in our lifetime. If salvation was only about going to heaven, at the moment you got saved, you'd go to heaven. But you get left here. You get left here to live out these things in different aspects of your relationship with Christ. And the one we're studying today is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in the life of a believer. And I'll show you how you get it, but I want you to understand it. So look at what he says here in verse 27. He hath put all things under his feet. And he hath put all things under him. And it is manifest that he has accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that hath put all things under him, God the Father, that God may be all in all. Verse 28, when all things shall be subdued unto him. There are things in my life I need the Lord Jesus Christ to subdue. There are things in my life I need the Lord Jesus Christ to conquer for me. And we're going to look at it in a moment. But I want you to grab this, verse 25. I told you it was dispensational, and we'll go there in a moment. Dispensational is a big word that just means age, age, age. Like you had the Garden of Eden, that was a specific age. Then you had the patriarchs with Abraham, that was an age. Then you had the nation of Israel and the Mosaic Law. That was an age, and the prophets. Then you had Jesus Christ walking the face of the earth for 3.5 years. That was an age or a dispensation. And then you had his ascension until the rapture. You've got the church age. Then you're going to have 7 years of tribulation. That's an age. Then you're going to have a 1,000-year rule of Christ. That's an age. Then you're going to have eternity, and that's an age. So look at what he says. Then comes the end. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last great enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, death's called the last great enemy. Let me show you why. Go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and look what the scripture says. In Revelation 21, we are after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We are after the great white throne judgment. And look at what happens. And I share this pretty much at every funeral I ever do. And I think it's a wonderful verse. And in Revelation 21, it says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. And in verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He's going to dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And look what verse 4 says. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. So there's coming a time on the physical earth, nobody is ever going to die again. Isn't that wonderful? Give the Lord a hand. We want to praise Jesus. That there's going to be no more death. And there's going to be no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, number one on the list is death. Death is the last great enemy. Now, you say, Brother Leo, there are a lot of things worse than dying. Certainly there are. Okay? Certainly there are. And especially in the life of a Christian. Somebody who knows Jesus as Lord and Savior, Paul even said, you know, I can't even tell you the things I saw when I got caught up into heaven because I've got to desire myself to go back, not stay here with you folks, but I got to stay and minister. And so the bottom line is, if we knew how wonderful it was, we'd all be trying to get there sooner than God desires. But the bottom line is this, death is the most powerful enemy in the eyes of God. So if death is the most powerful enemy, and it's already been defeated by me in my life by what Jesus Christ did for me, then all this other stuff, worry, anxiety, doubt, fear, all these other things, I can find freedom over. And I can find victory over. And so that's the point that we're trying to make today. So go back with me to John chapter 10. Go back with me to John chapter 10 and let me show you how powerful the resurrection spirit is that lives within your heart. And I'm going to 10 to set something up for you. Now, in John chapter 10, where we first started out today, the scripture says in verse 18, no man, no devil, no demon, no nobody takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the power to raise it again. Now, in verse 11, the scripture says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is going to give his life on the cross for all people, all humanity. But before he says all this, he talks about our enemy. And he's telling us that the resurrection power, when I indwell you, will give you victory over your enemy, the devil. And he gives us a little bit of the devil's strategy. And I'm going to add something to it by adding a verse of scripture to it. But I want you to read verse 10. He says, the thief, who is the devil, comes not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, that Zoe, not bios, that's a blessed life in the Spirit, and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, I want you to notice the strategy of the devil. Anything good in your life, Anything that God wants you to have in your life, the devil wants to steal it or destroy it or kill it and take it away from you. Anything that's good. That's the devil's goal in your life. Now, in an earlier passage, Jesus says that Satan is the father of lies, and every time he speaks, he lies. Yeah. And he did it to Eve in the garden, and he does it to you and I. So I want to give you 4 points on the devil's strategy. The thief comes to lie and to steal and to kill and to destroy. So I want you to understand something. The devil lies to you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill things in your life. And he wants to destroy the things that are good in your life. So I want you to understand that the devil wants to lie to you. The devil wants to deceive you. And the devil wants to steal from you. So what I'm teaching you today, the devil's already saying, oh, that might be good for Brother Leo, but we can't have that kind of power working in our life. My friend, this is for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. You just got to choose to believe it, you got to choose to pursue it, and you got to choose to experience it, and don't settle for anything less. I've been reading a whole book on how many Christians have intellectual knowledge, but not experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ and what it means to be in a relationship with Christ. So we've got to understand this. Now, notice John chapter 10 where Jesus talks about having authority over death and the resurrection occurs right before John chapter 11. Now you say, now Brother Leo, that's not an earth-shaking conclusion that 11 follows 10. But I want you to notice what happens in John chapter 11, verse 14. Jesus makes a statement. And he says this. Lazarus is dead. He's dead and he is buried in a tomb. Now Jesus just said, I've got authority and a power over death in John chapter 10. So if you move over here to verse 43, after Jesus speaks, he cries with a loud voice and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes on, and his face was bound about with a napkin. He was wrapped like a mummy. That's how they did it. And they did the spices and wrapped them up with those white rags. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now I want you to understand there are some dead things in my life that don't need to be there. And I don't want you to discount how I'm explaining it to you. It's not that they're dead and inactive. It's that they're dead and they got me bound up. And I want you to understand that the power and the authority of the resurrection of Jesus Christ can loose me and let me go. And you say, well, Brother Leo, how am I to do that? You're to do it just like Jesus did it. Well, what do you mean, Brother Leo? Well, I need to get along with the Lord and I need to say, Lord, what is it in my life that's tying me up? What is it in my life that's binding me? And then I need to pray out loud. Brother Leo, do I have to pray out loud? I'm going to go forward and say, I believe you do very strongly need to pray out loud. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, you don't have to pray out loud there on Main Street. You don't have to pray out loud in the middle of the square. But when you get home alone with Jesus, you need to say, Lord Jesus, what is it in my life that's dead? What is it in my life that's holding me back? What is it that's in my life that's got me bound up? And when the Lord reveals that to you, say, Lord Jesus, in the power of your resurrection, I pray right now that you will give me freedom and deliverance from this area of bondage of death that's been working on my life for all these years. And you pray it out loud. You say, Brother Leo, will right then something happen? It might. It might. But let me tell you something. You keep praying. And while you stay on this journey, God will be revealing things to you. God will be changing things in your mind. God will be changing things in your heart. God will be changing things in your spirit. But you know what we do? We ignore a lot of the dead things in our life. We sweep under the rug a lot of things that are holding us back. We don't even want to know what's wrong with us. That's terrible. You know, we don't want to know. And sometimes I really believe people feel like they're embarrassed. Not in front of me, but in front of God. Well, guess what? He already knows. There's two people that know me better than any of y'all. That's Jesus and me. And I thought about this yesterday. And you know how I said it yesterday? I said, it's me and Jesus. But then I said, that's a huge mistake because Jesus knows me better than I know myself. So I better say Him first. So two people know me better than anybody else. And that's Jesus and me. And so I need to bring these things before Him. And I need to say, Lord Jesus, I need to hear You say, loose Leo and let him go. By that power. Now, let me show you one more. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And look at what the Scripture says. The power and the authority of the resurrection. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You need to get along with the Lord. Take a yellow pad and make a list as the Lord speaks to you. Number one, I need to get this spirit of pride removed out of my life. Number two, I need to get materialism removed, covetousness, a low self-esteem, and all these things that I use in my life as crutches. I told Patty this morning, I got up this morning, I try to watch the news about 5 minutes. And never really on Sunday, but we had it on. And I didn't really realize yesterday was Earth Day. And I didn't realize there were marches all over the world. But there were several marches for science. I don't know if you saw that. Several marches for science. And they're walking down the street, and I've never been against science in my life. I'm for science. I enjoyed science. Took several courses even in college on science. These people are turning me against science. And so these people are walking down the street, and they're saying, what do we want? Science! When do we want it? Now! I'm saying this country's gone completely nuts. This country has gone nuts. And then this one group, they're walking around saying, no science, no peace. I'm saying, what? No science, no peace. One guy's got a sign that says, science lives matter. God help America. This country's gone nuts. But I want you to understand. You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm saying, man, Lord Jesus, if I didn't have You, I'd be very depressed. If I didn't have You, I'd be very discouraged. But we've got people that have passion, that have energy for all these things that don't amount to a hill of beans. Well, I am here to tell you, look at what Paul had passion for. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, he says, this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, because it tells us what sin is. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you say, Brother Leo, why'd you read all that? Because not only is death swallowed up in victory, every enemy you face can be swallowed up in victory. So you need to get along with the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, what is it in my life that needs to be subdued by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and get swallowed up in victory? And the Hebrew writer says the last great enemy, death, when Jesus rose from the dead, He delivered us from the fear of death. That's Hebrews chapter 2, 9 through 11. He delivered us from the fear of death. So what fears do you have that need to be swallowed up in victory? What attitudes do you have that need to be swallowed up in victory? Do you have bitterness, lack of forgiveness? Do you have fears where you don't need to have fears? Anxiety where you don't need to have anxiety? Are you a person that tries to control things instead of letting God have His way? Do you have preconceived ideas about how your life needs to be when the Lord has a will for your life? You know, in that passage in Isaiah, the devil said, I will lift myself up. I will exalt myself. In two verses, he said, I will five times. You know what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane? One simple sentence. Not my will, but your will be done. Maybe that's something that needs to be swallowed up in victory in your life. Not my will, Lord. Lord, swallow up my desires and my plans by your power. I'm going to tell you something. There are people in the Carolinas that still can't believe I'm in a hardware building in Wayne County, Tennessee, and nobody knows who I am anymore, and nobody, you know, cares, and nobody knows where to find me. But the bottom line is, I have never been more joyful and at peace in my life. Now, is this the way I would have planned it? No. But thank God, in spite of me, He blessed me. And I don't want anything else. You know, it's like I tell y'all all the time. Bigger is not always better. Sometimes it's just bigger. And I tell Patty that all the time. But look at what he says. Fill in that blank. Death is swallowed up in victory. I want you to fill in that blank. What needs to be swallowed up in victory in your life? And then pray this prayer. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, Brother Leo, what do I need to pray? You need to pray, Lord Jesus, in your resurrection power and in your resurrection authority, I need a victory over this in my life. And when you start praying that, your faith is going to increase. There's a whole lot different in praying it that way than just saying, Lord, please give me victory over this area of my life. You need to call upon and you need to define the kind of power you're asking to work in this situation. And when you get more specific about what you're dealing with, and when you allow the Holy Spirit to even reveal to you what your problem is, and then you get more specific about what kind of power you're calling on, then you're going to see the changes. Then you're going to learn the lessons. Then you're going to experience the things the Lord has for you. You ever heard somebody, I've heard a lot of Christians come and say, oh, Brother Leo, I'm just getting all beat up. All beat up. But you know, Brother Leo, I know greater is He's in me than He's in the world. No, you don't know that. You're just saying. Because you grew up in the Bible Belt, you know all the right things to say. No, the bottom line is this. Greater is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that lives in me than whatever comes against me in this world. That's what you need to say. That's what you need to claim. That's the authority that has been offered to you. And you need to remind yourself of these things. And you need to allow the Spirit to bring these things out. The power of the resurrection. The Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me. There are times I tell myself that. A lot. The one thing I say before I walk out here, I hear Psalm 50 verse 15 in my ears and in my heart where Jesus says, glorify me. Glorify me. Glorify me. And that's what I need before I walk out here. But when I get up tomorrow morning, I may need to hear my resurrection power is in you. My resurrection power is ready. My resurrection power will fight this battle for you. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I need Christ to help me. No, you don't. You need Christ to take over. I don't need Christ to help me. I need Christ to take over. God is my co-pilot? No. God is my pilot. I'm sitting back in coach. Hopefully not on United. Or if I got a stroller, not on America. Man, these stewardesses are crazy. I'm glad me and Dave didn't sneeze when we was on that plane. Might have got knocked out. But God is not my co-pilot. God is my pilot. Amen. And we want to praise Jesus that He is willing. And He is able. That's what that word exousia means. It means the authority, but the one that has the authority also has the ability. But when the ability is used in action, the word changes in the Greek. It goes to dunamis. That's the supernatural power of God in your life. That's Christianity. And we've got to believe it. We've got to ask for it and seek it and not settle for not having it. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Judy's going to play softly for a few seconds or a few moments. And I'm going to ask you to take these things before the Lord. I'm going to ask you to say unto the Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, I need this swallowed up in the victory of your resurrection, in the victory of your power. And I'm going to ask you to just take a few moments and talk to Jesus Christ like you're talking to your best friend, because He is. And you listen. Prayer is not a one-way conversation. It is a conversation. It's two ways. You can speak, but please also listen and just take a few moments with the Lord today.